This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. And masculinity in the United States today is, well, complicated. And it's even more complicated if you're a man of color. Just ask Jeanette Powell. She's a woman, but she's raising young Black boys, three of them.
So JJ is my oldest son. He's 8 years old. A sensitive kid, bold personality. He knows he's amazing. Joa is my second child. He is the middle child. I would describe him as a kid who is quiet to most people, but around me, he's pretty fearless and he has a very, very kind heart. And then my youngest son is Jordan. Jordan is three, and when I think about Jordan, I have to take a few deep breaths because Jordan is... He is the baby, and he operates as such. Kind of just, you know, he wants to do his own thing, but he's also a very sweet kid.
Jeanette says that's one of the most challenging parts of bringing up JJ, Joa, and Jordan is navigating that experience with her husband.
You know, I think my husband is an amazing man, but at the same time, you know, we have been socially conditioned a certain way for so long that I think at times he has to catch himself when he is, you know, basically attacking the sensitivity of JJ in a certain sense. I think he has to catch himself. And I think at times I have to catch myself as well because we've been operating under these roles and constraints for so long that sometimes asking the question of why does this bother me or why am I saying this in response to my child's sensitivity, I think has been very important for my husband and I.
Let's talk about some of those roles, particularly for Black men in this country.
Yeah. I mean, for Black men in this country, and, you know, we have a history behind all of this, but this, you know, no emotion. And I mean, you probably hear it outside of just the Black community, but all the comparisons of if you cry, you're a girl. If you show emotion, you're weak, you know, and I think about that so often. And I don't think it's something that I thought about growing up, even though I had brothers. Being a mother now, I see it in a very different way. I feel like there's always that pressure to be tough and to be strong and to be, you know, aggressive and to, you know, stand on your own and to rarely ever show emotion. And so that's been a very difficult thing for me to try to challenge. It's been a difficult thing to try to navigate co-parenting with my husband. But I do think my husband is open. But at the same time, as he is open, we're having to undo so much of the ways that we've been raised, the things that we've seen on TV or in songs or, you know, in books and all of these different things. We're having to undo that and try to parent at the same time.
And like, how do those conversations go between you and your husband when you're sort of figuring out, particularly when it comes to JJ, who's sensitive, like if JJ's crying, for example, what happens then?
Yeah, you know, I'm not always my best. I admit that. I think that as of late, the older that my kids get, I feel like the more I'm kind of protective over allowing them to be who they are and to show it and express emotions. So sometimes I don't handle the conversations with my husband very well. I can just, you know, kind of just like, you know what? Oh my gosh, if you say that, stop acting like a girl, like that really upsets me. And I kind of just lose it, kind of go off a little bit. But I'm aware of that. And I think that what I've been really trying to do is just kind of take a moment, step back, and then have conversations later in the day that say, you know, when JJ was crying and, you know, you talked about that or had a problem with that, this is how it made me feel. And this is why that's a problem. And I think that my husband is a very, very balanced person. He's not the person that gets angry, yells, or any of those things. And he's a very reflective person. So I can see in our last conversation, I can see the reflection there. I can see that he heard what I was saying, how it made me feel when, you know, JJ was having a moment of being emotional. And he said, oh, that was like a great. He can see how that made me feel and how that was problematic. And I can see the adjustments happening slowly but surely.
12-year-old Tamir Rice was carrying an airsoft pellet gun when he was fatally shot by Cleveland police.
What do we got to do? Will it get worse before it gets better? I mean, we need some help. We need some help down here.
With regular news reports of police brutality against Black boys and Black men, Jeanette is struggling to find a balance between encouraging her kids to be vulnerable without putting them at risk.
This is where it gets difficult for me because there's this side where you want your Black boys to be emotional. You want them to be able to express their feelings. You want them to be able to operate in what feels most comfortable for them. But sometimes you also realize that showing those emotions comes at a price, and it comes at a cost in this society. And so some of it is operating out of survival. Putting that in context with what we see happening all over the country, especially for black men and black women, I think that it is a very, very difficult parenting thing for me, because you want to tell your kids about these things, but you don't want them to grow up cold. So there's no perfect way. I feel like I try to preserve their innocence as much as possible, because when they step outside of my home, that innocence is not always given to them. It's not always preserved. But at the same time, I feel like I'm trying to raise very conscious children who know what's happening outside of the home.
And have you started having conversations with your sons about black masculinity specifically, or about race specifically?
Yeah, they haven't heard the term, right? Black masculinity, but definitely. And so, you know, there are small things that I do that I really try to commit myself to as a parent. And one of those things is, you know, letting my sons know that if at any point they feel like they're being forced to act one way, or to hide tears, or to not express emotion, to just come to me one-on-one. Right. And I feel like that has been very effective, especially for JJ. He's come to me many, many times. We've had lots of conversations one on one, and it's been very powerful. As far as race, yeah, I've had to have that conversation, especially with my 7-year-old. And I had to have some frank conversations. One day I pulled them in and I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, I said that I wish the world was differently, but as of right now, like, the fact that you're a black boy matters, and it means something different than the other kids in your classroom. When my kids do something in the classroom, it looks a lot different than when a white child does it in the classroom. And I have to make that very plain and very clear to them, whether I want to or not.
And do you see that impacting your sons at this age in terms of how vulnerable they're allowed to feel and or be in the world?
Yeah. I think it has an impact. But at the same time, I think that there is so much power in parenting, that if we are able to undo many of the things that we learned that were problematic, that we can have the biggest impact in our kids' lives. I think about my father, who wasn't always around in my life very much, because we were living in the time of the war on drugs, and my father was incarcerated for his drug addiction. But I remember the moments that we had together where he would tell me things like, I don't know if you're my daughter or my son, and I love that about you, right? Him standing in the gap, saying those few words to me, made me realize that I didn't have to operate in this traditional gender role of what they say a woman is supposed to be, right? And I feel like I try to do that same thing with my kids, where I try to make it more about, how do I teach them to be good humans? Because I know that if I teach them to be good humans, then they will define what being a man is to them.
And what advice do you have for other parents who are raising black boys right now?
Always ask yourself why. Ask yourself why. When you tell your child, you know, don't cross your leg, or, you know, don't play with that toy, or you can't wear a shirt that is that color, when you have those moments where you feel like you are, you know, going back to these social constructs of what it means to be a boy or what it means to be a girl, ask yourself, where does that come from? Where is it coming from? Because I feel like if we start to dig deep, we can see some of the issues. We can hear some of the things that have been passed down to us from generation to generation. And I feel like when we really get to the root of it, we know that it's a problem, but we've just been conditioned some one way for so long that it takes us to question why we feel the way we feel. What's making us tick in this way? What's making us feel a certain way about something? And I feel like if we do that, then we can get to the root of and the heart of what's really going on, which is this idea of masculinity, and we can be better to our kids. And if we're better to our kids in that way, we can have a better world. I really, really believe that.
Tonette Powell is the mother of 3 boys, an author, and currently pursuing a PhD in education at UCLA. And Tonette, I really appreciate your insights. Thank you.
Thank you. And to all the families that are listening, you know, love on your boys and love on your girls too. Thanks.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.